readings by Dr. Tim, that I've enjoyed it. I'm having a ball with this. It's a kind of simple Bible study, but yet it's wonderful. We're going to go to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, but before we go there, I want to go to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I've said that the Old Testament, everything in every book in the Old Testament can teach us something. The Old Testament is a foretaste of the New Testament. It's the Old Testament is the kindergarten for the New Testament, let's put it that way. The Old Testament shows us Jesus Christ coming. Now, everything that we have in the Old Testament, God was very true in writing down His Word through men. You know, there are about 39 different writers in the Bible or so, somewhere around there. He recorded all of the good things and the bad things. And there was one man that was so much that God loved, and his name was David. David was a king that God had promised Israel all the way from Genesis, the 49th chapter, through Jacob's words. Now, in the New Testament, it tells us some things. In the 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, let me just read down here some things. And it'll explain to you very plainly, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. For I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. And they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. For they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us in verse number 6. These things happened for types for us, examples. That we should not crave evil things as they craved. And do not be idolaters, as some of them were. And as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Now, we're right there at that point in the book of Exodus right now from the Hebrew language. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell down in one day. As in Numbers 25 and verse 1 forward. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. He's talking about the brazen serpents, the fiery serpents in the Old Testament there in Numbers 21. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Nor these things happened to them as an example. And they are written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but as such is common to man. And God is faithful, and who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way out of escape, that you may be able to endure it. All kinds of temptations in this world, and they're actually all down here written to us in the Old Testament. Now, David is going through a lot of problems here with Saul. David loves Saul, but Saul hates David because he's jealous of him. You know, we have that in life. I have seen people that were so jealous of their brothers and sisters that they just hated them. And it just controlled their whole lives. And here we have a man that God called out that was a very humble man, but all of a sudden he becomes very proud. We're going to be reading the book Job. And Job was a very wonderful, godly man, but when he went through a lot of trials and tribulation, horrible trials and tribulation, that he became self-righteous, and God called him down for that. That's a wonderful book. We need to read that one once a year or so, because we may have to go through some of that. Now here we have David, a man of God, and David was a sinful man, but he loved God. And if you look at his life, which we will, you will see so many things that he was such a humble, wonderful child of God and a man after God's own heart, and yet he was living in sinful flesh. Now the Lord said to Samuel, 16 verse 1, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil." Now he had a horn, probably a goat's horn or a cow's horn or whatever, and he filled it with olive oil. And he said, "Fill that horn with oil. I'm going to give you a job to do. And go, and I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite." And the word Bethlehemite there means that he is like a Californian or a Nevadan or an Idahoan, whatever. "Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." But Samuel said, "How can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me." Now, Saul is not beyond killing priests and prophets at all. His jealousy is raging within his heart, blinding his judgment. And Saul hears of it, "He will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you. Say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And you shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate, I point out to you." So Samuel did what the Lord had said and came to Bethlehem. Bethlehem means what? The house of bread. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" The whole nation of Israel was in an uproar. Saul was killing people, and David was out winning wars. He was doing everything. He was playing a harp for David, playing a harp for Saul, singing songs for Saul, and Saul kept trying to kill him. He's trying to kill his best friend. In reality, Samuel did what the Lord had said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Why do you come here in peace?" And he said, In peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Then it came about, when they entered, that he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. This is one of Jesse's sons." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance, or at his height, or at his stature, because I have rejected him." Remember, he rejected Saul, and Saul was a handsome man and tall and powerful. He said, "I have rejected him, for God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." The word heart there means the soul of man, the very soul. Mm-hmm. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And Samuel said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this man." Next, Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all your children?" And he said, "There is remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep." He's out there. We're getting ready to have a party, and he's out there working. Remember Jacob? Jacob was the breadwinner. David is the breadwinner. Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." I'm not going to sit down. I won't sit down here to eat. I won't sit here down here to do a sacrifice. I'm not going to do anything until I get my job done that I've come to do. So he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and handsome appearance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit was sent from God to terrorize him. Saul was self-willed, wasn't he? God would give him a direct command, and he'd go do something else. That wasn't God's man. God wanted to show Israel that Saul wasn't his choice. They asked for a king, and they gave it to him. But now, this is a man after God's heart. You follow this man. This is an honest man. This is a man that is trying to serve God with all his heart, even with danger around him constantly. And Saul's servant said to him, "Behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you." God allowed an evil spirit to terrorize him. Remember what these spirits are? This is a demon spirit. A demon spirit. Now, a demon spirit is one that has rejected God and chose Satan as his leader. But God allowed this evil spirit to terrorize Saul. "Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you. Let them seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is upon you, that he shall play the harp with his hand, and you will feel better. You will smile. Your face will shine." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. I want a rock star." And boy, did he get a rock star. I mean a rock star. Well, some of the greatest songs that have ever been written in the history of the world, this man wrote. Then one of the young men answered and said, "Behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech and handsome man, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent his messengers to Jesse. He said, "Send me your son David, who is with the flock." And Jesse took a donkey, and he loaded it with bread and a jug of wine. Now the word bread there, the hem, it means food. All sorts of food, not only bread, but any edible food. Raisins, bread, and dates. All types of food, cheeses, whatever. And he took a donkey and loaded it with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David his son. And David came to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him greatly. Saul loved him greatly until he became jealous of him. And he became his armor bearer. Now remember, David is young. Now, just David's trials begin. David's trials begin right here. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. So it came about that whenever the evil spirit from God, actually the evil spirit came from the evil spirit that God allowed, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and he would be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. The man that raised me, Dale Remling, was an atheist. He tried to make me be an atheist. He was a writer, he was a cowboy, fantastic cowboy, a movie star, or a movie actor, I should say, a world champion bull rider. Everything, he was a good carpenter, the best horse trainer that I've ever known. And he taught me a lot of things. Well, he was in prison, and all the time we were young, he would absolutely ridicule Christians. But one time, I wrote to him in prison. He got in there on false charges, by the way. And I told him that I thought God was calling me to preach. And I thought he wanted me to preach. I said, I'm trying to deal with this. And he wrote a letter back to me. And he always used to call me a dumb Indian. And I had begun studying the Bible seriously. I was studying Greek and Hebrew. Every Bible lesson I could lay my hands on, I was listening to every sound preacher I could listen to on the radio or get tapes for, and the tapes were reel-to-reel back then. And I was really studying. And he wrote me a letter back, and he told me if I wanted to be a preacher that I better start learning Hebrew and Greek because the Bible wasn't written in English. So I did. That's my mainstream of my ministry has been from Greek and Hebrew. And he became very proud of me when I started writing letters and writing Bible verses in Hebrew and Greek and interlinear them and letting him see what they said. He wrote me a letter and he told me, he said, you know something? He said, I think I've been gone wrong all along. I think there's a God in heaven. And he sent me this little thing that I've got in my hand. This is the one he sent to me when he was in Jacksonville prison, Jackson, Michigan. And this is the little saying that he wrote to me. And he said, you know what? He said, I believe this. He said, one night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And this is a very common saying and a little verse, okay? But it just jarred him. Jarred his very soul. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and the other belonged to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back to the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noted that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in my life, when I was under the worst conditions. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. The Lord said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. And I don't understand why in the times that I needed you the most, that you should leave me. And the Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never, never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. My dad wrote this, sent this little piece of paper right here to me. Now, I had read this many times. But coming from his heart, boy, that really meant something. That atheist had become a believer. He was a former atheist now. And even though he was still kind of wild in some ways, he believed in God. And he saw God leading him through all the things he'd been through in his life. And he wrote and told me that, son, I've seen you go through some hard things, but God's carrying you right now. And those were very important words to me from the man that raised me. I loved him so much. I just idolized him. I did not want to imitate the things that he did bad, but I wanted to be like him. And he was a great standard to follow in what he could do with his life. And you out there, wherever you are, David went through a lot of things, and we're going to follow his footsteps. We're going to walk with him. And we'll see David crying and going through some hard things. And God called him out to be the king of Israel, and he was. And God protected him all the way. You'll see his great, what we might call, assets in his life, in his heart, in his mind. And you'll see his low times and when he was sinning against God. And you will, in the Bible, you will read songs, and we will read some of these to you as we study Samuel. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Remember, Psalm 23. David was a man after God's heart, but God was a man after David. And God is after you. In your life, he wants you. He could have sent angels to preach and to witness for him in this world, but he sent you instead. If you're his child, you are his. He will carry you through all these times. Maybe you haven't had rough times. Thank the Lord for that. But when you do, he'll be there. Our Father, we send this message out tonight to honor and glorify you. I pray for those that you've given me to take care of out there throughout the world, that you use these words to encourage them and to help hold them in times of dire need and persecution and maybe even facing death. I remember when I brought students out that I had, my former students that had given their lives to the gospel. And Father, there are examples for us like David was. And even Saul was an example. Even Lot was an example. Abraham was an example of good and bad. Father, please use your word to honor and glorify yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.